I just want to acknowledge everybody here. I mean, this is a wower, and I'm very appreciative to have your energies here this evening. As usual, it means so much to me that the divine has created the opportunity for all of us to be together, and it means a great deal that each of us brings a very beautiful energy into the room, regardless of where you've just come from. You bring it because that is the truth of your heart, and I acknowledge that very deeply. There, here comes someone. Now, how did I know that? So for those of you who are new, I'd like to just say a little bit about myself so you know more or less where the energy is going to be coming from this evening. I am a mystic. I had my first mystical experiences when I was a young child, and those mystical experiences have continued throughout my life. A mystical experience is one in which you come into union and communion with the divine. Now, what does that mean? It means that as a result of that experience, you align with and are aware of the presence of the divine within you all the time. And what normally goes along with that kind of mystical experience is that you have the voice within, that's a capital V, the voice of the divine speaking to you. And the divine speaks to me unceasingly. And I have, through these years, come to open my consciousness not only to receive this spoken word, but also then to speak what I have received. And as the years have gone by, it has become my joy to not only experience my life unfolding in a very extraordinary and beautiful way, but then to be both fully in my humanity and fully in my divinity. And there are many people who, and this is their soul agreement, they sometimes do not stay within their humanity. They incorporate and bring their divinity in, but their life in physical body is not really what they are experiencing in this particular embodiment. I, on the other hand, said, I want to be fully here all the time. And I would like to have the voice of the divine speaking to me in such a way that I can be at ease and have conversation with someone while I'm being spoken to, and at the same time be able to honor and appreciate and deeply be connected to the conversations that I'm having. I had a reading many years ago, and the gentleman, it was an Ayurvedic reading, and at one point he said, are you a renunciate? And I said, I beg your pardon. He said, you know, have you renounced life and relationship? And I said, oh, absolutely not. I said, I'm waiting for whoever's going to come into my life. And he said, well, actually, you're going to be alone the rest of your life. And I had made peace with that. I said, okay, that's what it's going to be. And then at the very end of the reading, he said, now, wait a minute. In 3 or 4 years, you're going to have 2 or 3 months in which to make a decision. There'll be someone in your life. And if you don't make the decision within those 2 or 3 months, done, finished, you're alone. I went, oh, far out. And the years passed. I forgot about the reading. I said, you know, what is this reading thing? I'm just going to forget about it. So I'm with my older sister, and this is many years later, and she said to me, you know, I had a reading done, and I'd like to bring it. We were traveling together to see her son sing. He has a marvelous voice. And so I said, oh, you know, I have this tape that was done several years ago. I'll bring my tape, and we'll listen to each other's tapes. So she plays her tape, and, you know, and I said, well, I'll just stick it in the machine. And, of course, the only part that came out was the part about, okay, in 3 or 4 years, 2 or 3 months, that's it. And my sister looked at me and she said, isn't it time? And I went, "Eureka, I believe it is." So I went home and I said, okay, talked to the divine. I said, "All right, if it's supposed to be, just tap me on the shoulder." And he also said, this gentleman was going to be from a foreign country. And I went, "Oh, good luck. I mean, Santa Barbara, who am I going to know from a foreign country? Everybody's a Californiaite." So, you know, time passes and one thing and another. And sure enough, within the group, there is a Frenchman. And all of y'all have seen him sitting there. He's not here this evening. And one thing led to another, and eventually we married. And that was, for me, the fulfillment of not only the completion of my work as one person, and then what was going to happen coming together with another individual who was also on the path, and how we could then blend our energies and be able to be in that loving consciousness as a couple, and also in our own individual way of expressing the divine. So I want to acknowledge how life unfolds in the most incredible way, and that we embody so that we can learn. And the meaning of our life is to love. So if someone says to me, "What's the meaning of life?" I would say, to love. And that doesn't mean just love a little bit. It means to love to the total expansion of the consciousness that you wish to carry. That means that your heart is no longer just your heart. It becomes connected to every single heart of every single person that you even look upon, even if it is just for one moment. If your heart is fully open, they too will be part of your heart. Yes? So the wonder and beauty is that we all come together knowing who we really are, that we're love, and that our hearts are open. So today I want to do two readings, and I want to read from our wonderful man, Tukaram. These are all mystics from the ages, men and women of many different points of view and many different religions. His name is Tukaram, and he lived from 1608 to 1649. And his poems are poetic songs of teaching and of a devotional nature. It was commonly believed that Tukaram attained the same spiritual heights as Rumi, Hafez, and Kabir. His poems are an intimate journal of discovering God within. This fellow has a great sense of humor. Okay? So you can laugh. It's perfectly okay to enjoy his humor because it is quite marvelous. I'm going to give you the name of the poem so you won't be taken aback when I see the word. Geronimo. You might hear the beautiful shout of Geronimo from a lover who has just dove from the cliff and is heading full steam into the ocean, into the beloved. And of course, there will always be lots of gab along the shore from those who are drawn to God, but have yet to really get bare-assed and go in. Geronimo may be the last word we hear from that brave gal falling 625 miles per hour from a cliff. For once beneath the sea, once within the water, only fish open their mouths, still bargaining for something. The soul becomes quiet in ecstasy, so quiet. Love speaks in absence of God, not in the heights of passion. And this is actually a song, but I'll read it as a poem, that was written by a gentleman by the name of Bob Holt in 1979. And he was a follower of a guru, and this was his inspiration. And when I say the I, it's all of us sitting in this room, all right? I am the ocean where all has begun. I am the beloved sublime. I am the ocean where all finally come. I am the one beyond time. For I am the one who made heaven and earth, planets and stars up above. I am the treasure of infinite worth. I am the ocean of love. I am the ocean of limitless joy, infinite consciousness too. I am the music that never will cloy. I am the ocean in you. I am the ocean of unending peace, limitless hearing and sight. You from your drama now can be released into my ocean of light. I am the ocean of unbroken calm, infinite bliss I am too. I've been called Jesus and Buddha and Ram. You are the messenger too. For I am the one who made heaven and earth, planets and stars up above. I am the treasure of infinite worth. I am the ocean of love. Drown in my ocean of love. Who's ready to drown besides me? Raise your hand. Everybody's hand should be up. Come on, come on. Don't be lazy. Get that hand up. Yeah, thank you. All right, all right. Unless and until we allow that level, and it is surrender. I can remember, maybe y'all can too, the first time you jumped off the diving board when you were a kid, and the water seemed so far away. Nod your hands up and down. You had that experience. Okay. And it was the low board, right? Now, we're not talking the high board, we're talking the little low board. And I said, you know, and I had older brother and sister, and of course they were taunting and saying, you know, come on, you can do it. All right. So I creep out to the edge of the board, and I go, oh, you know, and I was a pretty good swimmer, but the idea of just diving, just falling in space and landing in the water was quite beyond anything I'd ever experienced. And so, bravely, I did. And of course, after that, could you get me off the diving board? No! I wanted to feel that freedom of falling and landing in the water and then coming up and going, oh, that was magnificent. A few years passed before I could do the high dive, you know, and it's really high. And I would watch everybody cannonballing off. That was the deal, right? You had to tuck your knees and bam, go in. I said, okay, okay. I think I can do this. Up the ladder, you know, down, standing there, looking down. And of course, there's a part of me that said, I really don't have to do this. I really do not have to do this. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And so with just as much bravery as I could pull into myself, I cannonballed off and hit the water, and I survived. And I thought, wow, you know, this is a pretty cool thing. Now, in our relationship with the divine, we're often asked to go where we have never gone before, to speak what we've never spoken before, to feel what we've never felt before, to allow the energies that are coming unto us and through us to express in ways that we could never have imagined. And yet, that is what the call is about. And you wouldn't be in this room if there wasn't some part of you that had a call of some sort or another. That call can come in many different ways. Some people find it in nature. Some people find it in beauty and art. Some people find it in music, poetry, film. There are many ways, particularly in this day and time in which we have embodied, that the divine is continually speaking to us if we have the ears to hear, the eyes to see, and the heart open to whatever that might be. And often, that which is offered to us may not be that which we are accustomed to or which we have experienced before. It may be taking us beyond what we have expressed in this room as the ring pass not. The ring that our family said, this is as far as we go. And yet we had to step beyond that. Then as an artist, I can only say there's a ring pass not, and I had to go beyond that. So in the way we come into the divine and bring the divine into us is always about taking that next step. The divine is always there awaiting us, you see, tapping us on the shoulder from time to time. And when you hear the voice or you feel that little tap on your shoulder, sometimes we say we're just too busy, I'm sorry. How can we say that to the divine? We're too busy. But of course, that's our ego saying, well, you know, I've just got six things to do today and I just don't have time to pay attention to that. I said to the divine, please get my attention. Don't make it so subtle that I have to wonder if that was really you. I asked for that because I wanted to embrace and be fully in my physical body, in all of my bodies, planes and cells, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and in every cell of my body, I wanted to know that immersion. I wanted to fall into that divine energy. I wanted to experience it fully. And I didn't want it to be just for a millisecond. I wanted it to be this lifetime. This lifetime. Now, all of us have had simultaneous past lives in which we have had experiences, else you wouldn't be in this room. You have had the experiences, and the memory is still there. It is still there. And in this embodiment, we have said, can we more fully realize, more fully be the divine which we are? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And for many of us, we can get so sidetracked because, you know, this world is so seductive. Oh, we can get seduced so easily. But I'll tell you the one thing that's more seductive than anything on this earth plane. Would you like to know what it is? It's the divine. The divine is so beautifully seductive. And it will seduce each one of us perfectly if we just open to that level of seduction. Now, the first time I heard that, I went, whoa, that's pretty far out. I think I'd like to be seduced, you know? And I was early on the path. And I said, well, I just wonder what that's going to be like. And I said, well, I do want to know. I think that'd be a really good idea. So I said, come on. However that is going to look, I want to know what it is. Now, some of you may say, oh, no, I don't think that's exactly what I want. Well, that's all right. The divine will come to you perfectly in alignment with every soul agreement that you have made about waking up. And this embodiment may not be about waking up for you. It may be about, I think I'll think about it, or I think I'll look at it, or I think I'll watch other people this time. That's perfectly all right. In the next embodiment, chances are you may say yes, 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 and all the yeses will align and something else will happen. And many of us have had the experiences in other embodiments, and when we come into this embodiment, we are given in this embodiment such a level of support and wonderment, and the consciousness is already within us to awaken fully to the truth of our being. You don't have to read one book. You don't even have to come to a lecture. All you have to do is be very still and go within your heart and just ask. And if the answer is yes, if you ask in your heart and the answer you get from your soul is yes, then something else will begin to happen. It's always a choice. It's always a choice. And it used to be, in many of our simultaneous past lives, where the struggle was a part of waking up. There was struggle, and you had to work really hard. And we even went into mystery schools, and these mystery schools were set up for those individuals who would come into the mystery school and would study for a certain length of time. And then, at the end of their time in the mystery school, they would be told, yes, you're ready to go into the next mystery school, or no, this is not for you. In this embodiment, we don't have those kinds of structures anymore. Where is the mystery school? Right here. This is the mystery school. And if we come into our hearts and we hold the truth of our being, which is love, and we allow ourselves to love even that which the moment before we said, we cannot love this, that's when we grow. We grow because we love that which we were not able to even embrace, perhaps not even look upon, but now we have the capacity to do that. And I, for myself, understand that as I have allowed all that is to come unto me, then everything that I had said no to came into my life. And then I was able to practice saying yes, and also bringing love to that which even the moment before I said I cannot love this, I've been able to love it. And it continues to happen thusly. As long as we're on the earth plane, we will always be offered moments where we'll say, I don't know if I can love this. And the divine will say, here's another opportunity to grow your heart, to grow your consciousness, to grow your love. The divine once showed me a beaker of water, and some of you have heard this, and the water was completely clear. And the divine's hand appeared, and it had a dropper, and in the dropper was blue ink. And the divine pressed the dropper, and one drop of blue ink went into the water. And of course, it penetrated the water, but it was a very light color. And the divine said, you see, you can come into your divine consciousness drop by drop by drop by drop. Or, as Mary would like to have it, you can take the whole bottle of ink and just pour the whole thing in. Now that's my way, okay? But honey, if y'all want drop by drop by drop, you can have it. You can say, I'm going to have 3 drops in this embodiment, thank you very much. And I'd like them every 10 years, so it's not too, you know, it's not going to rattle the cage too much. Okay, that's fine. Or, like me, I said, hey, I think this is really going to be fun. I want to know what this is. And I found out. I found out how fantastic it was. And I said, why was I doing all those little drops? And part of it was the preparation that is needed within us to be able to expand our consciousness when we are infilled with these extraordinary levels of energy. And we call for them. Yes, we call for them. We say, I am ready. I am ready. And even if the ego says, I've been listening to this conversation that you've been having with the divine, and I actually don't think that I'm ready for more than one drop. So what do you do then? Well, my experience is, I say to my ego, darling, sweetheart, being that you are, we're going to do this thing. And let's do it together. And if we are lovingly embracing our ego while we're going through what we're going through, there will be no resistance. If there's resistance, it means that your love has not yet fully embraced all that egoic energy. The ego is a great teacher about that which is less than love. And our soul is a great teacher about that which is love. And what we're doing in this embodiment, and I want to demonstrate it again, here is who you are in the divine, and here is where you are as ego. Now the ego begins like this, and the ego is also God. And in our childhood, we get a lot of patterns that close us off and close us up. And gently, through the work that we do, look what happens. Gently, 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 it opens. And here is our soul that is always completely open. And then our souls come into alignment with that which is our divinity. And there is no separation between that which is our divinity as divine and that which is our divinity as ego. Now this is huge. It's huge. And the moment you're out of alignment, can everybody feel when they're out of alignment? Nod your head up and down. Okay. If you can feel when you're out of alignment, then you have a realization, here's a place where I am either withholding my love or I am in judgment of something that is going on either within me or outside myself. And I have moved out of alignment. I am not in alignment anymore. Now, when you're in alignment, how does that feel? One word.
Bliss.
Bliss. Another word.
Joy.
Joy. Another word.
Glorious.
Glorious. Glorious. Another word.
Peace.
Peace. Another word.
Love.
Love.
No, flow.
Flow. Thank you. Another word.
Present.
Present. Another word.
Sweet.
Sweet ease, another word.
Inspired.
Inspired, another word.
Free.
Free, another word.
Easy.
Divine, another word.
Easy.
Easy. Easy. Now, is your life full of these words? Every single moment? Okay, so we have a little work to do, maybe. I don't see anyone being enthusiastic here except me. No, all of you are very enthusiastic. All right, I understand. You see, in meetings like this, everyone's supposed to sit like that. I do not know how to do that. And it was very hard when I was a child in school, because I was just wiggling around. All right, just, you know, come on now. Okay. I have a motor that runs, and I have a juice within, and I have that energy of divine awareness that is simply, wow. The only way I can describe it in my own experience is I have been, when I was in Australia, I was there because I was working with ice skaters, and we had a big world competition in Australia, and I had the opportunity to go to an island, Dunk Island. And I walked into the water, and I was aware, as I got up to here in the water, that I couldn't tell the difference between the water and the air. Everything had become like one consciousness. It was the most extraordinary experience. And I went, oh, this is amazing. And I realized that what had happened, and the experience I was having, rather mystical, was that there were no boundaries to my physical body any longer. I had actually become one with the ocean, and I had become one with the air, so that I was the air and the ocean all at the same time. And since I had no delineation of my body, I had just begun to move as the water moves. It was so beautiful, and it lasted for quite a while. And then I decided that I would swim just to get back in my body. And I was on my stomach and I was doing the breaststroke. And suddenly I was aware of a great presence behind me. And my heart started to go, because there are sharks in the water. And I thought, oh, okay. I'm very calm. I'm going to keep being very calm. It's going to be wonderful. And this presence came around me and surrounded me. And I realized that I was in a pod of stingray. And these stingray had completely come around me. And because I was so still, they did not know that I was a person. I was just the water to them. And I said, you know, and I'm swimming, and they're, you know, doing this luscious thing that they do in the water. And we moved together, and there were people on the shore. And they said, afterwards, they said, you literally disappeared, and they came around you and upon you. And you were just swimming in the consciousness of these stingray. It was absolutely incredible. And then they said, oh, she's going too slowly. Off they went. It was amazing. But I realized that I had asked for a sentient experience in which I could feel being one with the water, one with the movement of the stingray, one with all that is. And having had that sentient experience, it didn't leave me. So I do not go through the world and say, I'm separate from anyone in this room. I'm separate from what's going on over there. I'm separate from what the stars are doing. I am not separate from it. My experience is that it is in my consciousness, and we are all in that consciousness. Now, whether we recognize it or experience it is completely up to us and the soul agreements we've made. The soul agreements that you make prior to coming into the body very definitely create potential and possibility. And you can create new soul agreements whenever you're ready. You can say, I want to experience that. For instance, you know how much I love food. And we all know the different tastes that we love. Makes me want to salivate. So if you think of something that you really love to taste, the next time you do it as a ceremony, that you will be one with this taste, and take just enough and put it on your tongue, because the receptors on your tongue are fantastic, fantastic, and you have many of them. So you put it on your tongue, and you close your mouth and close your eyes. You don't have any other experience, just what's on your tongue. And just let it be there so that you really feel it fully. You taste it fully. And you experience it if it is something that dissolves, that you're aware of it dissolving. And you don't do any efforting around the dissolving. You simply are totally present with that experience. Now that's being one with everything that's going on in here. And if you practice here, then it's easier to practice out there. Now, when I get into the bathtub, I do not just get into the bathtub, all right? I get it just the right temperature, and I say, okay, I'm going to get those little feet in first, and I feel what that is. And it takes a while for me to actually submerge myself in the water, because I want to feel it completely. I want to feel being one with the water until it gets right up to here and my head's on the back of the tub and I am just feeling that sense of being submerged in the water. We have so many experiences in our lives that can bring us into at one-ment, that we can experience it so fully that as we expand our consciousness, it's very easy then to take in what is the next and the next and the next and the next. Of experiencing what it is. Now, everybody's sitting on this chair, aren't they? Now, I'm going to use the word buns. Feel your buns on the chair. Now feel the energy going down your legs and into your feet. Put your feet flat on the floor for me, just for a moment. Feet on the floor. And just feel the energy coming down your torso, moving down your legs, down your calves, into your feet. Now feel it going right down into the heart of Mother Earth. Her heart awaits you. And when you feel that connection, you will feel a vibration. There will be a tingling. And now allow the energy of love from Mother Earth, from her most magnificent heart, coming up through the soles of your feet, up through your legs, up through your torso, out through your arms. You can feel the energy in the palms of your hands. They will start to tingle. Feel the energy rise through your heart chakra, come up through your neck, up through your head, and feel it flowing out of your crown chakra, out through the top of your head. And then you will notice that it is flowing almost like a fountain out of your crown chakra. And that wonderful energy of love, that pure light, that extraordinary consciousness is now flowing down over you and around you and returning now with your love back into the heart of Mother Earth. Allow it to rise once more from the heart of Mother Earth up through your feet, up through your legs, through your heart, ascending once again through your head, out the top of your head, the crown chakra, And now let it rise into the heart of the divine. And from the heart of the divine comes this pure sentient love flowing down and surrounding you, infilling you, and entering into every cell of your body. We say, thank you. I love you. And now, just beat your feet. Clap your hands. You're back in the box. Okay. If you would do this every day, and make this connection every day, from the heart of Mother Earth to the heart of the divine passing through your heart. I can't give you a guarantee, but I promise that the energy will start moving through you in ways you cannot imagine. And you will begin to see, not just with the eyes that you are commonly seeing with, but eyes that have expanded their ability to really see what's going on. And it also assists you in realizing that every cell of your body is love. There's not one cell that is not pure love. That's how the divine so incredibly fills us through every cell of our body. And we don't have to do one thing. It's going to happen whether we do it or not. But if we allow, just with that very simple visualization, we will become aware of this extraordinary light that is within every cell of our body. And when we're with the other, whoever the other happens to be, whether it's in a big stadium or just one-on-one, we will have the realization of seeing the light in every single person that we look upon. Please don't write while I'm speaking. Sorry. You're in your left brain as soon as you pick up your pencil. And I need you to be in your right brain while we're here. Thank you. As you look upon every single person, you're going to have the awareness of the light which they are. Now, this is phenomenal. Most people are never recognized in their embodiment at all for the light that they carry. Do you know that? They never have anyone who sees it within them. But if we see it within them, if all of us went out and said, we will see the light in every single person that we look upon, do you know what will happen exponentially? The light will be magnified and intensified on the planet Earth 10,000 times, 10,000 times, which means that exponentially it's already gone out into the infinite. Doesn't take a whole lot to begin to move energetically from our cellular consciousness here to that which is everything and all that is. Now, they've been looking in black holes. And what have they found in the black holes? They thought the black holes were empty, didn't they? Well, guess what? There's a whole bunch of stuff going on in these black holes. Now, in a lot of people, they feel like they have a black hole. Big, empty black hole inside. And in truth, as we experience the light within us, we can then I call for the light which I am to be one with all that is. And I make a prayer that the light be within every human being on the earth plane. Every human being on the earth plane. Every plant, I ask for animal, vegetable and fruit, and mineral, all the kingdoms to feel that light, because they express the light, and we sometimes forget that they are the light. So we honor the light that all these kingdoms are, and how sweet that is. And wherever you go in the day, the moment you get in your car, do most of you all have a car? Okay, everybody has a car. Okay. Your car is a vehicle of light because it's going to carry you wherever you want to go. And it does not say, you know, I don't really think I want to go shopping today. I don't think I want to go down that road. I think I want to go down. No, your car does not do anything but follow your directive. That's why we love our cars so much. Because it may be the only place on the planet where we say, I'm in charge here. So, please, be kind to your car. Love your car. I love my car. I say, darling, you're so wonderful. I love you so much. It looks like it is inanimate, does it not? It is not inanimate, darlings. Everything on this planet, including this chair, this floor, everything, is divine and filled with light if we have the power and the willingness to see it. Now, where do you journey in your day? Before you even get there, have the light waiting for you. Just have the light waiting for you. I mean, I used to go to the grocery store and go, I don't believe I have to go to the grocery store. I'm sure I'm not the only person in this room who might feel that way from time to time. So, the divine said to me, why don't you just take a little light, put it in the grocery store, and it'll be there when you get there. I said, what a great idea. So, I just send the light to the grocery store, get in my car, which is filled with light, follow the road that's filled with light, get out in the parking lot, filled with light, I walk into the light, I take all what I need out of the grocery store, they're filled with light, put them in my little basket that's light, take my money out, which is light, pay, bless the cashier because she is light. Do you get what I'm saying? If you want to experience being one with all that is, you have to expand your consciousness to fill that which already is with the light which you are. And it doesn't take any longer than that to be able to do it. I wake up in the morning and I go, look at the light. You know, it's like, wow, fantastic. When you realize that everything is here in light, it just looks solid. Now, if we had an atomic microscope here and we took a sample of anything here and we went down to the atomic level, what is in that atom? Light. Light is in every single atom of every single thing that is on this planet. Now, once you know that, you can live at that level of light because it's already living through you as light, right? The light's already living through you, dears, but until we bring our consciousness to it, until we embrace it and say, oh, gosh, everything is light. Everything is light. Then you're just going to, for many people, they just kind of drag their body around like excess baggage, you know? I've got a trunk on this side and two, you know, suitcases on this side, and I'm just pulling them along right through the embodiment. Once you begin to shift your consciousness to light, then you realize that you are a light being. You are the bearer of the light. The bearer of the light. And you can share it just by looking at a person with loving eyes. That's all it takes. Loving eyes. And how often have you just looked at someone and it was just like, nothing really going on there. Okay. Now, I have a little game I play with myself. When I meet someone, and usually they're in a store and they're doing a job they don't like, and it's 5 o'clock and they're really tired and they just want to go home, and it's, oh, 5 minutes. Okay. They're already out the door. Their physical body is here, but they're out the door. And I just have a little game I play. Just loving eyes. Smile. Wait. And sure enough, the energy changes. You don't have to say a word. Don't have to say a word. But you have seen them. Most people are never seen by another. They're not seen at all. So of course, they just go, you know, forget it. But to be seen with loving eyes is such a beautiful gift that we can give. It costs nothing. no more energy on our part other than to be fully conscious of our loving eyes to another. And if they look away, that's all right, because it may be the first time in their life that anyone ever looked at them with loving eyes. And it may be more than they can handle. And that's all right. Because the next time, and there will be a next time that you'll see them, then you give that look of loving eyes to them, and they will not look away. They will look at you. Because they want to know, what does she see? She's seeing me. I am being seen by another. It is so beautiful, and it takes no efforting on our part at all whatsoever. And yet, it can change the energy just like that. And if we go through our day thusly, I mean, I have a dog, and this Elkie's her name. And Elkie, honey, she only knows loving eyes. Her eyes are so loving. And if you have a cat or a dog or a bird or a horse or whatever you have, and I hope you have. If you don't, you might get one. Because they teach the loving eyes. The loving eyes. And then their loving presence. They only are love. They're just love. The greatest teachers I've had on the earth plane have been the animals I've had in my lifetime. I've had some wonderful teachers on the earth plane, and I've had wonderful teachers on the inner planes, but oh my, the dogs in my life, they have taught me how to love unconditionally, no matter what. And I said, I thank every animal on the earth plane. I say, thank you, what you are doing. And the bird song, have you given thanks for the bird song? The songs that are sung around the world, the enchantment, the beauty of the bird song. Oh, I thank them every day. And when I'm sitting in the silence, it happens every day. I sit, even if it's not right on time, I sit and there will be a bird song. It might just be one little tweet, but there it is. They're going, okay, Mary's sitting. Understand, love is so palpable in our lives, but often we simply don't look to it, for it. We don't embrace it in the form in which it comes to us. We say, well, it's got to look like blah, blah, and then it'll be love. Well, that's not my experience. Where I'm expecting it often, I don't think so. But where I don't expect it, it just comes and just walks right into my life, you know, and says, well, here I am, here's all this love. So, if you look at your life now and you say, the feeling aspect of love is joy, am I joyful every moment? Is every moment of my day filled with joy? And if it is not, then who needs to bring the joy? We are the ones to bring the joy if it is not there in our lives. And then we get to say, this was a good day. This was a joyful day. I fulfilled that which I knew was my purpose in the day, was to bring joy. Now, if that's the feeling aspect of love, it means that your love every day is profoundly, profoundly affecting everything that is happening on the planet. You think because your love is just here that it doesn't affect that out there? It does. It affects it deeply, deeply. And sometimes we forget that. We think that it's just this energy right here, immediate to us. But the truth is that the moment we love, whether self or another or in any way that we love, that energy is moving all the way around the planet and is doing magnificent work. Magnificent work. Now, let us say you have a spiritual practice. Do most everybody have a spiritual practice in the room, more or less? Okay. It's important that you have a spiritual practice. And it can be one of three things: meditation, prayer, or contemplation. So if you don't want to meditate, that's fine, no problem. If you prefer not to pray, that's fine. But to contemplate means that you quiet the mind and focus on one thing. And it can be, I'm going to bake a cake today. Of course, Mary wouldn't be contemplating that since she doesn't know how to cook, but that's all right. But some, you know, there's some really good cooks in this room. I know that already. So when you go in the kitchen, that's your time of contemplation. You can say, I'm cutting and chopping, and I'm mixing and stirring, putting it in the oven, taking it out. You know, all the doo-dah-day of being in the kitchen, which I praise and I love everyone who does that, because I don't have a clue. Okay, so, but while you're doing that, you can be in that contemplative place. There are people who say that when they cook, that's meditation for them. And I went, far out. Meditation while they're cooking. It's wonderful. If you water the plants, that's the time. Feed the dog, that's the time. Eat your meal, that's the time. Anything that's in your life can be the time. It's the consciousness that you bring to what you're doing. And it isn't about the doing. It's about being present in the consciousness whilst you're doing what you're doing. So everyone take a moment. Think about one thing you're going to do tomorrow where you will bring your consciousness to it. Just put it on your list. I've got this one thing I'm going to do tomorrow. Maybe taking a bath. It doesn't make any difference what it is. I brush my teeth every day consciously. It can be the smallest thing, but you're going to bring your consciousness to it as you do it. And you will hold it as sacred. You'll bring love to it. You'll bring your consciousness to it. And you will allow your heart to be present fully with whatever it is that you're going to do. And when you've made your decision, just look at me and I'll know you're finished with deciding what you're going to do. Okay. Now, how hard was that? Now, while you were making that decision, what happened? Tell me, somebody, what happened?
It's already done.
It's already done. Thank you, God. All righty. The moment you brought it in and you focused upon it and you saw the reality of what it was, you had already accomplished it. So that means that tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, you're going to link those pearls of consciousness. And at the end of each week, you will have a string of pearls, will you not? And that string of pearls can go eventually all the way around the world. And it will change whatever is happening around the world. When people say, what are we going to do about the mayhem here and the this there and the fighting and the all that goes on in humanity? It begins right here, dears. We're it. And if you bring that love to all that you are and all that you do in your being and your doing, then that vibration of love will go around the world and change will happen. And we may not know the extent of that change, but it will happen. Now, we are a mighty band of people sitting in this room, a mighty band. Where two or more are gathered, the energy is multiplied 10,000 times, 10,000 times. How many folks do we have here? I can't count.
20.
21. Is that a good number? Numerology, please.
Fabulous.
Is it good? What does it mean?
Three.
Abundance.
Abundance. What else? Is that it? Abundance. Oh, I'll take that. Okay. All right. So there are 21 of us. We have an abundance that has gone beyond 10,000 times 10,000 times. All right, we multiply that times 21 and it's some sort of huge number. Okay, now, if you look at that energy going around the planet, and that's just we in this room who are doing that. Every time anybody meditates on the planet, it changes the vibration of what's going on the planet. When I went to Tibet, I went to the Dalai Lama's where he used to meditate. He doesn't any longer. And within this extraordinary building that I went to, there is still a monk, and many monks, and they meditate 24 hours a day, and they have shifts. And they have been doing that since the beginning of the Tibetan religion, which was thousands of years ago. every day, 24 hours a day. It never stops. Now the energy that comes out of that room, and it's a tiny little room, is absolutely incredible. And the commitment that they have made to hold that energy unceasingly. And when the Dalai Lama had to leave and he went to India, he said to the monks that said to him, "We will not leave. We want to hold this energy, which has been anchored here for thousands of years. We will not leave." And many of them have been killed, as you know. But those who remain, they are steadfast to do and hold this energy. Now, how steadfast are we to hold our energy of love? Can we be that steadfast? Yes, we can. And we can do it just in our daily lives. Where is the divine? Is there a dwelling that is more sacred, sacrosanct, and in total harmony with the divine than this right here? This is the temple, darlings. And if your body is not a temple to you yet, let it become so. Because herein dwells the heart of the divine, right here. Here's the consciousness of the divine in every cell of our body. Here's the capacity to love unconditionally all the time. This is what this instrument is, this extraordinary body. And we inhabit it for such a short period of time. It's just a wink of an eye. And here we are, totally capable of being able to love. Oh my, do you know what that is? It means that the divine which we are has given us the capacity to see love, hear love, speak love, feel love, embody love, literally embody it in this incredible form. Now, you may not like your form, but you have a soul agreement that said, this is the form I'm going to be in this time, and so you have it. So let us love what we have said we would come in and be the divine with this. Now, once you get that, then you say, okay, just release all that negative shoot-up-a-da-boot-up that you carry around. Just let it go. It doesn't mean anything. It's just creations of your ego to keep you from doing what one thing? Love. Just the one thing. If there's just one thing, now, we have to build that spiritual muscle. I talk about this a lot. You cannot do it if you have not built your spiritual muscle. And you will be given opportunities to see if you are ready for the next step. You will be given opportunities. Now, I like to build my spiritual muscle. I say to the divine, bring me that which I am not yet fully embracing. Bring it unto me so that I may embrace it. Ask, and it shall be given. You will receive that which will allow you to grow in consciousness and grow your heart. My heart used to be pretty much like this, because that's how I was raised, right? But most of the time it was on my sleeve, and I was told, you have your heart on your sleeve again. And I went, oh! I mean, it was a terrible thing to have your heart on your sleeve. But you see, that was the only way I knew how to be. I had to just be loving out here. And then I said, okay, I'll just keep it in here, but I'll keep it shielded. Everybody know about that? Shielding that heart. Oh, it's so tender. Oh, it's so tender. And little by little, I said, you know, if I'm going to be loving, I have to let that go. And the divine said, no harm will come unto you. Let go of all that shielding. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And while I was letting go, I had to do the work of all the negative imprinting that I had received in my childhood. I had to love it and let it go. Because if I held on to it, guess what? The shield would come right back again. And I said, I cannot do this. I have to let go of that, and I have to embrace everything, all parts of myself, negative and positive, and everything in between. I have to embrace every experience I've had in this lifetime, negative or positive, everything in between, in order to love that which the divine is asking me to love. The divine is not asking me to love that which I know is easy to love. I'm asked to embrace everything that is less than love on the planet. That's part of my job, one of the reasons I embodied. I said, I'll do that. I will do that. I will do that every day. Now, each of us has agreements that we've said, perhaps that's part of what we're going to do. And if it's not, you have your job, I have my job. And once you know what your job is, then you get to go, oh, wow, okay. And we build our spiritual muscle as we do what we do, okay? Now, I honor and give tremendous thanks that all of you are here tonight, because there is much that has been happening on the earth plane, very disruptive here in the United States, and you'll probably hear about it if you haven't already in the news. And it's in Boston, and there was a bombing. And I want to acknowledge that as we have been sitting here, and I have been speaking, and as you have been holding the energy of love, that we can now, if you're willing, you don't have to close your eyes, you can if you want to, bring the energy that is in Boston and bring it here into the center of the circle and bring your love to all of it. Let's take just a few moments to bring our love to it. Those who set the bombs, those who have been wounded, those who are not. And to flow into the energy which we've been moving here in the center of the room, that which has unfolded in Boston, and that which is unfolding in all the places around the world in which that which is less than love is being expressed. And we also hold this within our hearts. And we allow that which is unfolding in the divine order of all that is not to be judged, but simply to bring our love to it. For we have no reason to judge it, for it is too also in divine.